You have a copy of the 101 book handy. We'll be using that this morning. Let's turn to Psalm number 13 in the 101 book. If you're able to stand, let's give us a belief on this psalm. Number 13 in the 101 book.
Thank you.
song, considering that at least for our family, Friday was the 8th anniversary of my father's passing. And looking forward to that day when I'll get to see him again. All of us can say the same of friends and loved ones that we know. All right. There is one birthday. It's Brother Jim Lambert. I hope, Pastor, you won't mind delaying, and we'll sing that tonight, and then we'll hopefully get him for the 5:30 service, and Lucy will be here. All right, if you would take your little memory verse booklets out, we are on page 11 now. For the sake of time, I trust you won't mind if we just repeat the first three verses there together, and then we'll turn it over to the pastor. All right. Everybody ready? All right, here we go. Assurance of an inward witness. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Assurance given by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Assurance is evident by new love for Christians. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. All right. Asher.
Amen. That's good stuff already this morning. I don't know about you. That helped me out a lot. Amen. Thankful for the weather. Beautiful outside. Like Jason prayed, it is beautiful outside today. Be thankful in good times, thankful in the bad times. God's good, and I like the cooler weather. This is what I don't miss about South Carolina. Like, when it's supposed to be fall, it's fall. Kind of, I was raised that way, but the South doesn't seem to want to follow that. When it's fall, it's still the middle of summer. Amen. So if you take your Bibles this morning, we're going to continue on here with our study in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 2, book of Genesis chapter number 2, Lord willing, we'll try to go down to verse 17 today. We'll start in verse number 11, Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says the name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Let's go ahead and pray again. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for your blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you provide mercy and grace. And Lord, may you just be glorified and honored now in this study. Lead God and direct your Lord, clear my mind, my heart, my thoughts, dear God. May you just be said what you would have to be said, no more, no less, that you be glorified. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name, amen. So we've been looking over the last couple weeks about the gold land, how that gold is good in that land. And then go on here in verse 12, and we talked about Delium and then the onyx stone. And I kind of want to finish up with the onyx stone and then finish it up verse 13 through 17. With some thoughts. But the onyx stone, we looked at it last week, how it was on a high priestly garment. One place that the onyx stones were at were on the shoulders. And on each side, on each shoulder, there was a stone. And the six names were written on one side, and six names of the tribes were written on the other side. And the high priest bore those names upon his shoulders as a memorial before the Lord. So I want to take your Bible and keep your hand there and look over at Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. The high priest bore upon his shoulders the names of all the tribes of the children of Israel as he ministered before God there in the tabernacle and also in the temple. And, you know, as we as believers, you know, the Bible says that no man liveth and dieth to himself. And so thus, we ought to bear one another's burdens. We ought to be there for one another. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, beat the snot out of him." Right? That's good independent Baptist preaching right there. If you see a brother's falling, go over and kick him in the stomach. Right? That's just the way we should be. You know, you see somebody fall, that's good because that means you're higher than them. So that means you're a little bit more spiritual because they fell and you didn't. How many individuals joy over seeing somebody fall? And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. Well, I'm good that that happened to him. He deserves it. Look, I'm not innocent in that. I'll be honest with you this morning, I've thought that way before. I'm so glad that God doesn't deal with me sometimes the way I deal with others. I'm so glad that I have a Father in heaven, a God in heaven that shows mercy to me and says, "Okay, son, you don't even know what you're saying. I'm going to have mercy on you, and hopefully someday you'll realize how dumb that was with what you just said." The Bible says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness." You want to, you know, we're going to look here, Lord willing, this morning in Romans. And Paul talks about how he desired to go to Rome and that he might impart some spiritual gifts to them, that fruit may abound also his account, but also to their account. And you want to know what the fruit of the Spirit is and what God puts pleasure in and what God desires to see is you as a brother and sister in the Lord see somebody fall or overtaken with a fault and you go over with a spirit of meekness and try to encourage them and bring them along. Or along these lines, if you see someone that's doing something that necessarily you don't agree with or you don't think is right or maybe you have a conviction about it and they don't have a conviction about it, you still show mercy, you still show long-suffering, and you still show grace with them rather than, "I can't believe they're doing that." Bible, because look, if you think that somebody's doing something that's not spiritual or that's not done in holiness or not done the way it should be done in your mind or the way you think the Bible says it should be done, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken a fault with what you might think be a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." The Bible never gives grounds for us to ever have a haughty attitude. There are never grounds in the Bible for a believer to have a haughty and arrogant and prideful attitude. That is that which God abhors. For any man to be lifted up or sister to be lifted up themselves and think, "Well, I've arrived, they haven't, therefore they're in the condemnation because they're not doing it the way it should be done." Bear one another's burdens. If somebody's doing something that you just don't think that's the way it should be done, pray for them. And if it's sin and it's something that's really bad or you deem to be something that's going to be detrimental to the church or how the church appears, then pull them aside and with a spirit of meekness say, "Brother or sister, I've been praying, but this bothers me a little bit." And if you ever have to do that, do it with meekness and humility and say, I just something to maybe to think about. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual." spiritual. You want to be spiritual this morning? Apply Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Spirituality is meekness. Spirituality is meekness. Look what it says next in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Next part of that verse, latter part of the verse. Considering thyself. How many people through the years, you know, come up to you? I know that's probably happened to everybody in this room. Somebody comes up to you and says, do you know that this is this and this is that and this is this? Amen. Most of the time, I'm just going to take it. I'll just take it. Amen. But I often think in my mind, brother or sister, do you realize how many other things that I could say back to you because of this, 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 and this, this? Brother, if we put somebody under a microscope, the microscope very easily could put right back on us. I'm just being honest this morning. Say, brother, sister, you do this. Brother, sister, you do that. Brother, sister, you did this. Brother, sister, you did that. Okay, now let's do a review of your life. Right? One thing that's been coming across my mind lately, and I was with a brother Friday for quite some time Friday, and spent some time together, and this brother asked me, he said, so what'd you read this morning in the Bible? What'd you get from your Bible this morning? Let me see if I can find it for you. Now, look over in Proverbs. I believe it's Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16, I believe it is. Yeah, Proverbs 16:24. This is what I told a brother. This is what I was thinking. This is what I've been meditating on. This is what's been on my heart. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 24. Well, we'll start in verse 23 because they go hand in hand. But look at Proverbs 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Okay? So let's put this together now. The heart of the wise, their heart, teaches their mouth and it adds learning to their lips. Now jump up two verses to verse 21. The wise in heart, here we go, we're talking about wisdom again and the heart. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, which means the wise is going to be very careful in how they speak. Somebody that's wise is, no, that's not a wise individual. So I'm telling you, according to, just read through Proverbs. Just read, this isn't Preacher Chris. We could do a whole study here on the book of Proverbs. I try to read a chapter, whatever the day is, I try to read that chapter in Proverbs, and I've been doing that for 21 years. So I don't know how many times I've gone through the book of Proverbs. One thing I know is, okay, stop, hold time out, woo, rein that thing in. Because you can bring that back over to the book of James. He that can't bridle his tongue, if they can't bridle the tongue, there's other areas in their life that they're not bridling and bringing into subjection. Now look how these are connected. Verse 23, 21, and back down to verse 24. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Go back up to verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. They're going to be careful not only how they conduct their lives and how they move about in their life. They're not going to be quick to jump on something, but it's also going to, they're going to be prudent, I believe, in their mouth. And not only will they be prudent with their mouth and what comes out of their mouth, I love the latter part of this verse because I struggle with it. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. You want somebody to get something that you're trying to get across to them, you need to do it in a sweet way. Because we're all human beings in here, and we don't like to be corrected, and we don't like to be reproved, and we don't like to be instructed. Because our flesh and our pride don't like that, because if someone's trying to instruct us, if somebody's trying to reprove us or rebuke us, that means we're doing something wrong, and we don't like to come across like we're doing something wrong. We always want to feel like we have everything right. That's pride, because we don't have everything right. We aren't always doing the right things. But if you ever have to reprove someone, the Bible says the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. If you can do it, go back over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. If you can do it in a spirit of meekness, restore such a one, ye that are spiritual, with a spirit of meekness and with sweet lips. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Now jump back down to verse 24 in Proverbs 16. pleasant words are as an honeycomb. There's that sweetness. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You want to encourage someone. You want to build them up. You want to strengthen them. You want to lift them up before God. You, which are spiritual, restore such a one that's overtaken with a fault, but do it with a spirit of meekness. Do it with sweetness of the lips. Do it with pleasant words. And in order to help that individual's soul and their very bones physically. I don't know about you before, but words cut. Words cut. Words are like a sword. Words are like, the Bible refers to the tongue as if it's a razor blade. What comes out of our mouth and how we say it, we may never realize it because the individual might never tell it to us, but you might have just cut them so bad and hurt them so bad, it ain't good. And you might be the straw that breaks the camel's back because of something you said. We ought to consider ourselves. And rather than tear down and pluck and pull at and nag or destroy, we ought to build up and restore such a one. Or try to restore such a one. You see, Aaron bore upon his shoulders the names of all the tribes of the children of Israel as a memorial before the Lord. To make what? What was Aaron doing when he went in there? He was making intercession for himself and for the brethren. Aaron was going into that Holy of Holies once a year, but throughout the year making intercession, offering sacrifices to appease God because of what the children had done, and to intercede for them before the Lord. And we ought to do the same in our own lives. Finishing up here in Galatians chapter 6, not only to bear the infirmities of the weak, look at verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brethren, if you see somebody weighted down, something heavy on their shoulders, come alongside them and help them carry the load. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Preacher, what does that mean? That kind of contradicts itself, doesn't it? Well, no. You do what you can help, but ultimately, it's between that individual and the Lord. There's only, again, like I've been saying for weeks now, there's only so much that you can do. I'll say this, be careful that you don't let others drag you down because you have more of a burden for them than they do for their own selves. And what I mean by that is this. There's a lot of individuals out there, they mean right, they have a right heart in it, they have a right mind in it, but they take more upon themselves than is necessary. I reach out to individuals, I pray for individuals, but ultimately if you keep rejecting and rejecting and rejecting, I'm moving on. If you're not burdened about it, I'm not going to be so much burdened about it. I'm not going to let you drag me down and you're over there having a good old time and I'm crying over you and you seem to care less about it. Now, will I keep praying for you? Yes. And if it appears that you're wanting truth and you're wanting to come to God? Yes. But go back through and read how the Lord Jesus Christ handled himself. Did he go to every city? No. Did he go to every individual? No. Most of the times he walked away from the crowd. In John chapter 6, that crowd came back around the lake again, the one that he fed, the 5,000, and Jesus said, the only reason you're coming to me is because I fed your stomach. And guess what? That offended them. How dare you say that to me? And then they had the audacity to look at Jesus and say, what sign showest thou? What sign? If you're who you really are, show us a sign. Brethren, it pulls out where the heart's at. Jesus didn't go, oh, please, no, please. If you want me to, I'll do another sign for you, please. I'll show you that I'm... He kept going. He said, the only reason you're seeking me is because you want your belly full. You don't want to know the truth. You don't care to come to me and recognize me for who I am, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You don't want to recognize who I am. You just want me to dance to your tune. And Jesus says, I'm not going to dance to your tune. Did Jesus have compassion on them? Yes, that's why he fed them. They were as sheep without a shepherd when they're on the other side. But now when the truth has come out, what did they do with the truth? Did they receive the truth and try to learn more from the Lord? Or was the heart pulled out about what they were really looking for? They were looking for a magic show. Show us some more miracles. Dance for us when we tell you to dance. Jesus isn't going to act that way. And so he walks away. They separate from her. And the disciples said, you offend them. And Jesus looked at him and says, will ye also go away? Do you see what Jesus said to the disciples? His own disciples who followed him. He says, yeah, you're right. Maybe I should go back and talk to those individuals. Probably I didn't handle myself the right way. Jesus looked at them and says, will ye also go away? Basically what the Lord's saying is, are you going to get on a train and follow me, or are you going to keep doing what you want to do? And I think sometimes we take more burdens upon ourselves with individuals in our lives when they could care less about getting on that train. And every day you're beating the snot and you're beating yourself up and they're over there having a good old time. Brethren, discernment. We need to have discernment, or if we try to take every burden upon our shoulders, we're going to be drugged down into the mud because you can't handle it. I ask God to lead and guide, direct me in my prayers. Lord, who should I pray for? Lay upon my heart who you want me to pray for, not who I want to pray for. Because I'm learning real quick as a pastor, you get burned out, and burdened out real quick. I can't pray for everybody's and have a burden for everybody's lost loved one. It's impossible. I pray for Brother Ralph, the list he puts on the prayer request. I can't pray for every one of those requests that's on that prayer list. My mind, I don't know about, sometimes my mind's like, I get all boogered up. It's like getting underneath a waterfall and trying to hold the water up from getting the ground. You say, preacher, what do? Well, you take the list that he gives out every month. You take the list he gives you out every month. And you ask God to lead, God, and direct who God would have you to reach out and intercede for on these lists. Don't let the enemy mess with your mind saying, well, you're not spiritual because you're not praying for every single individual on here with every single need, and you're this horrible Christian. No. You pray for what God says the need is for this hour. And you pray for whatever jumps out at you and God lays upon your heart, and you intercede for that prayer, that request, I should say. Does that make sense? Don't take this whole burden of these, just these, and this isn't even probably everything that's going on in everybody's life, and put this on your shoulder and feel like you got to carry it, and if you're not carrying it, then you're not spiritual. No, that's not how it works. How it works is walking with God and what he puts on you to pray and intercede for. See, too many look at this as like just a checkbox. Well, I pray for this person, I pray for it. But are you praying for who God wants you to pray for? Are you interceding for who God wants you to intercede for? It takes a walk with the Lord as we try to bear one another's burdens. Having a walk with God, being still before the Lord, and letting that still, small voice speak to your heart and say, this is what I want right now. This is who I want you to pray for. Because, brethren, you and I can't see the hearts of all men and what's going on at every time in every one of our lives, but God can. I'll use you as an example. He could be driving down the truck, something just be playing in him in his mind. I have no clue about it. Nobody else has any clue about it because he's in the middle of nowhere driving a truck. But God knows. And God could all of a sudden put something on Jim DeLucia's heart and say, hey, pray. Jim DeLucia's walking with God. God says, in a moment, Jim's just maybe praying. And all of a sudden, Jason's laid on his heart. That's because the Lord knows something's going on in his life. Right now, he's laid on that brother's life to say, hey, I want you to pray for him right now. Why? I don't know why. Just pray for him. But God, I was getting ready to pray for the missionaries. No, I want you to pray for Jason right now, not the missionaries on the field. That's a spiritual walk. But it takes a walk with God. It takes a sensitivity to the Spirit of God as He speaks to your heart, rather than just going through a checklist. That's what God desires, and that's what God wants to work in our lives. That's how we bear one another's burdens, is when we have a walk with God, and God will lay upon our heart what God desires for us to be laid upon our heart. Bear ye one another's burdens, and then also realize in the end, well, they're not praying for me. They're not doing this. They're not doing that for me. Nobody talks to me. Nobody listens to me. Nobody prays for me. Well, no, ultimately, also, you have to bear your own burdens. You have to intercede to God. You have to have your walk with God. You can't just rely on your brothers and sisters to carry you through everything. You have to have your own walk, which why it comes down to verse number 5 here, for every man shall bear his own burden. When we stand before Jesus Christ someday, we're going to have to give an account for our own lives and how we live them for Him. And we're not going to be able to have excuses, and we're not going to be able to pass the blame on someone else. We are accountable for our own spiritual Christian walk before God. Take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter 15, verse 1. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 1. The word bear in the Bible means to support or sustain, to hold up. Romans chapter number 15, verse 1. What did Aaron and Hur do for Moses? They held up his hands as Moses was interceding to the Lord, as the children of Israel and Joshua out there fighting the battles for God. Moses couldn't keep his hands up, so Aaron and Hur, they came aside and they lifted up Moses' hands to keep God in the battle down there with Joshua. They were bearing the burdens of Moses. Moses' burden was that victory would occur with Joshua and the children of Israel as they went out there to fight the Lord's battles. But Moses was getting tired. He was getting weary, keeping his hands up. And those two men came along and kept his hands lifted up before God as he made intercession for the children of Israel. That's bearing an individual's burdens. Coming alongside them and lifting them, supporting them, and helping them through whatever they may be going through. Burden, that which is borne or carried a load. Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. The Christian life is a selfless life. A Christian life is to do for others and help others. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Not what we might get out of it, but what they might get out of it by us trying to be a blessing to them. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. Who? The neighbor's good to edification. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. Who did Christ come to help out and save? Us. Who gets in on the promises and the riches and gets the benefit from us? Us. Who's the one that suffered? Jesus. Who's the one that had to lay aside his glory and heaven there and come and become a man here on earth? Jesus. Who got the benefit from us? It goes back to verse number 2. Verse number 2 is what Jesus did for us. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, look what the Bible says, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Those that shook their hand at God, blasphemed God, reproached God, it didn't fall back on them, it fell on the Savior. The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me, Jesus says. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written afore were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Those that are strong bear the infirmities of the weak, just as Aaron bore upon his shoulders the names of the children of Israel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. You see common theme through all the epistles about being there for one another, strengthening one another, encouraging one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. Paul says to the church here at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. Look what Paul tells the church there. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient to only a few men, or those you deem to be patient towards. The Bible says to be patient towards only believers. No, it says to be patient towards all men. I'm afraid we're going to get home to heaven someday and realize we were off in a lot of areas as Christians and believers. Be patient towards all men. Not just who you think you should be patient towards, because that's easy. Be patient towards all men, even those that drive you crazy. The individual that drives you crazy the most, that's the most, that's the person you need to be praying for the most, because that's the person that God set in your life to help you grow in your faith and grace. You ought to be thankful for the individual that just drives you absolutely crazy, because God's put them in your life to help you grow in grace and mercy. Because you see, God wants to strengthen and encourage you. That's why he sent this thorn in the flesh to you. But God, I only want to be around people that like me and agree with me. No, they're not going to help you. The one that you disagree with a lot just drives you crazy, just the way they talk, the way they sing, the way they do this, the way they dress, the way they do that. That's exactly who you need in your life. Because you know what it's going to do? It should, if you let, humble you down and have a greater burden and intercede for them and pray for them and love them. That's what God desires. Because isn't that, brethren, isn't that what God's done for us? Don't we drive God crazy? Don't we annoy God with our attitudes? Don't we upset the Lord with our complaining and our murmuring, and I can't believe this and I can't believe that, and God's sitting up there in heaven going, I hear you. Remember what we read last week, Jeremiah chapter 42? I've heard you. I hear you. Oh, God, I want you to do this in my life. Oh, God, I want to be spiritual. Oh, God, I want to. All right. How are you handling that individual that you just can't stand? God says, as soon as you pass this test, then we'll move on to the next. So often we're stuck with that test for years because we can never get over it. God says, okay, you keep retaking the test, keep retaking the test, keep retaking. You see, this is schooling. We're all in schooling right now. I don't know what each grade all of us are in, but we're in some type of grade before God. Sometimes I feel like I struggle just to get out of kindergarten. Right? Just get out of kindergarten. Look, pre-K, man, like, I still got the training wheels on the bike. Serious. When can I get the training wheels off my bike? As soon as you stop complaining. Oh, I can't. See? That's the truth, brethren. It is the truth. We so often sometimes want the deep stuff. This is the deep stuff. This is the deep stuff, walking with God. Being patient toward all men, supporting the weak, supporting and comforting the feeble-minded, and warning them that are unruly. Those that are unruly, Paul says that they're not submissive to the rule. They disregard restraint, disposed to violate, ungovernable. Those that are unruly, Paul says, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Don't destroy them that are unruly. Warn the unruly. Be patient towards all men. How many people in our society today are unruly? They're ungovernable. You can't control them. God says, warn them. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. The Lord can help in these matters if we allow him. And we can be a help to one another. The last thing about the onyx stones is that the last place that they were placed was not only on the shoulders, but there was an onyx stone that was in the set of 12 stones that the priest wore upon his chest there with the ephod. And onyx was one of those stones placed in order on the chest of the priest. Take your Bible, look at Exodus chapter 28, verse 15. Exodus, the book of Exodus, real quick, chapter 28, and look at verse number 15. This is where we find that the onyx stone was placed there in the breastplate that Aaron bore before God as a memorial to the Lord. Exodus chapter 28, verse number 15. Exodus 28, verse 15, the Bible says, "And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twine linen. Shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in the settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row, and the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row shall, a ligure, an agate, an amethyst. And the fourth row a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings." Preacher, would you get this? Just as the stones and the names of Israel, the children of Israel, were borne upon his shoulders, here these stones are close to the heart of the high priest of God. Take your Bible, look at John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus Christ, we're close to the heart of Jesus Christ. John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, 34. John 13, verse 34 says this. John 13, 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another." Just as those stones were close to the priest's heart, we're close to the Lord's heart because he loves us, but we ought to keep others close to our heart and love them. Look at John chapter 14, verse 23. Flip over to the next chapter, verse 23. "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Chapter 15, same book, John, chapter 15, verse 8. John 15, 8. "Herein is my Father glorified." How is God glorified? "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." How do you glorify the Father there in heaven? Jesus says, "Herein, how is my Father glorified, that ye, the disciples, bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You want to bear fruit to God and the Father in heaven? You want to glorify God the Father in heaven? Do as Jesus said and love God and love your brother and sister in the Lord. That will keep you joyous. So, preacher, I don't have joy. My joy is lacking. Well, then how is your love? Preacher, I don't have much joy. My joy has been taken from me. How is your love? How is your love to God the Father, and how is your love to others? Check up on those two things right there, because the problem might just lie in one of those two things of why your joy has been stolen. Because you might have let your love grow cold. What did Jesus say? One of those, you've left your first love. I'm going to close this morning with this. Have you left your first love? Have you left your first love? Have you just left off loving on Jesus? He's worthy of it. If anybody in this whole universe and universes that are out there is worthy of our adoration, praise, and all the love we can get, it's Jesus. I can think of no other one to love with all I have than Jesus Christ. That onyx stone was close to the heart of the high priest as he went about his daily services in the priesthood. He wore that breastplate upon that ephod, and there was four rows of three of those precious stones. And the one was that onyx stone. And that onyx stone not only had a place close to the heart of that high priest, it also had a place upon his shoulders. Have you left your first love? Are you loving Jesus like you ought to be? I can't answer that question. That's only a question you can answer. Are you loving Jesus? Because if you love Jesus like you ought, that love will spill out to others as well, and that's what he desires. For you to love him and then reciprocate all the way out to loving others, individuals as well. By this shall all men. We're to be patient towards all men. How are all men going to know we're his disciples? By the love that we have one to another. Have each of us close to one another's hearts. The brethren ought to be close to your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning in the Sunday school hour, Lord. I thank you for all that you do. Lord, I just thank you for your love towards me, dear God. I thank you, Lord, this morning for your patience towards me. And Lord, I pray, dear God, this morning, Lord, if anybody in here has left their first love, Lord, if there's anybody in here this morning that when they got saved, they just had this zeal and just this earnestness to follow after you and just had this burning love for you because of what you did for them and saving their soul and forgiving their sins. But if that love's kind of grown cold, dear Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes to see it. Lord, I pray you'd blow upon those embers, dear Lord, and a mighty flame would grow again in our hearts in our love towards you and towards others. And Lord, we just give you the glory, honor, and praise, and we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother. Take a little break, and Lord willing, we'll get started here soon.